deacons will affirm those on the 14th. We'll also be affirming the budget. That is available at the welcome desk if you'd like to see the 2026 budget before. The 55 Alive is going to have their Christmas, old-fashioned Christmas in the Fellowship Hall, and that is a ticket event. And so if you need to purchase a ticket for that, they're at the events table. When you exit the lobby today, you can purchase tickets for that. Those are $10. That is going to be on December 4th from 3 to 5 p.m. And so be sure to pick up those tickets so they know how many to plan for that. We are so looking forward to December 14th. There's a lot happening that day, but that evening is going to be our Christmas night of worship. Luke 4:18, Christmas night of worship. Plan to be here that evening. Our choir and orchestra have been preparing for a very long time. It's always a very special opportunity for us to gather together and worship, and an opportunity for you to invite your friends to come and enjoy that as well. Following that evening, we'll have cookies and cocoa in the breezeway in the back. If you would like to register to bring some cookies, some homemade cookies for that event, there's a sign up in the lobby for that as well. If you'd be willing to make some cookies and bring for our fellowship that evening, that would be greatly appreciated. Now, if we turn our attention to the baptistry, we're going to begin worship. Thank you.
Well, good morning, church. It is always a joy to begin Sunday morning with baptism. The last couple weeks as we have continued to baptize, it has just been an incredible, incredible time. And I rejoice today that we have Johnny Cockrell coming. Johnny came and shared with me just recently how the Lord has just been working on his heart, and that he came to know Christ a few years ago, but over that time he has just really felt the call to follow through in obedience of believer's baptism. He shared with me the other day, not only does he want to follow through in believer's baptism, he says, I want to get involved, I want to help, I want to serve, because he wants the gospel to go forth, that many others would be right here in this baptistry, professing Christ as Lord and Savior. Remember that baptism is the outward expression of an inward decision. His trust and belief in Christ as Lord and Savior and surrendering his life to the Lord. Today, he is professing that to the body of Christ. Johnny, is Jesus Christ the Lord of your life?
Yes.
Amen. Well, Johnny, it's upon your profession of faith that I baptize you, my brother, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, buried with Christ unto death, and raised to walk in newness of life. Amen. Amen. Father, we just thank you for this incredible testimony of your goodness, of your faithfulness, of your love, of your grace, and of your mercy. Father, that you have transformed our hearts from death to life. And today, Father, what a beautiful example of baptism, proclaiming the good news of what Christ has done in Johnny's life and those who are born again. Now, Father, I pray that if there's anyone in this room today who does not know you, that today would be the day of salvation. Father, we pray that your name would be lifted high and glorified in this place, that as we worship this morning, that we would not worship just by singing songs, but it would come from the heart. Clean hands and a pure heart as we lift up an incense of praise to you. Father, we love you and praise you, and we give you all glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for choosing to worship with us today. What a great way to kick things off and just seeing one life go completely all in for the gospel. We're so glad of that. Today we're going to start Christmas music. You came on the right Sunday, so let's sing to our God and Father today together. Why don't you stand and welcome those around you as we begin to sing today. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son. He gave for us. We give him our lives.
Come all you weary, come all you thirsty, come to the well that never runs dry. Drink of the water, come and thirst no more.
Amen.
Come all you sinners, come find his mercy. Come to the table. table he will satisfy. Taste of his goodness, find what you're looking for.
Sing this morning, for God.
For God so loved the world that he gave us his own and only Son to save us. Whoever believes in him will live forever. The power of hell forever defeated. Now it is well. I'm walking in freedom for God so loved.
So glad that we're gathered together. Luke 2 tells us this: when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and to Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. We have the same call today. We gather in this place to praise God for who he is and what he's done for us. And then we are not called to store that up in our hearts, but to go into our community and tell all those around of the God who saves and that their lives can be changed. Amen. So let's say that with one voice by singing, "O Come All You Faithful" today.
Oh, come.
Today. Pray together. Father, you existed in eternity. You created all things. You created them good. Man sinned. We were broken. We could not be in relation with you, Lord. But then you sent your Son. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. All things were made by him and for him, and without him was not anything made that was made. We thank you for what you've done, Lord. Only by his righteousness, only by his grace, and by him we mean Jesus, can we return to you, Lord. So we say that sweet name that is above every name, Jesus Christ. We behold your glory. We behold your grace, especially during this Christmas season, Lord. We pray that our hearts would just be filled with just this joy that is beyond comprehension today, Lord. You are our Messiah and our Savior. We love you today, for you first loved us. Amen.
He who was before there was light walked across the pages of time. He who made every living thing, behold him. He who heard humanity's cry left his throne to wake as a child. He became like the least of us. Behold him. Jesus, Son of God, Messiah, the Lamb, the roaring lion. Oh, be still and behold him. The blind, the lost, and the lame. Even now he is in our midst. Behold him. He who chose a criminal's end, paid with blood to settle our debt. Buried death as he rose to
behold him.
Well, I pray that you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. I know that several are traveling today. The only reason I know that is because Brother Fred always let me preach on this Sunday. And he always told me, he said, David, you can preach the Sunday after Thanksgiving because it's our lowest crowd. And I said, well, thank you, Brother Fred. But I pray that everybody that is traveling today, that may be watching on live stream or maybe watching later, I pray that you're having safe travels as you return home. And I pray that you all had a wonderful Thanksgiving. You know, this Sunday begins a season that we call Advent. Now, when I was growing up, I didn't really understand Advent. And then as I began to study and realize what this season is all about, it's the expectant waiting on the Messiah. The word Advent means expectant waiting. Now, they're waiting because the Old Testament spoke of the Messiah is coming, right? We even saw that in Malachi when we studied Malachi just a few months ago. Malachi chapter 3, verse 1 spoke of this idea that not only was the Messiah coming, but the one, the messenger, was coming to prepare the way for the Messiah. And then all throughout the Old Testament, we see this waiting on the Messiah. Now, why were they expectant? They were expectant because they believed the promises of God. They believed that if God said the Messiah is coming, then the Messiah is going to come. And so this season leading up to Christmas Day is Advent, the expectant waiting on the Messiah. We celebrate Christmas because it is the fulfillment of the first Advent. It is the fulfillment of the first Advent. It is when Jesus comes and dwells with us. Now, we see this idea in Luke and also in Matthew that Jesus is born of a virgin. We see that he comes, Emmanuel, God with us. And this is the fulfillment of that first Advent. But church, we live in a constant state of Advent. We live as born-again believers today in a constant, expectant waiting. Awaiting on the Messiah to return. We saw this again in Malachi. Malachi chapter 4, verses 1 through 3 speaks of the day of the Lord and the returning of the Messiah. And those who do not know the Messiah, it says that they will be burned like chaff. But those who know the Messiah, it says that they will skip like a calf that comes out of the stall. Now, we talked about all of this just a few months ago. But we live in that constant state of Advent, waiting on the Messiah. But why are we expectant? Because we too believe the promises of God. We too believe that the scripture says, and it does say very specifically, that Jesus will return. No one knows the day or hour. I told y'all several weeks ago that if somebody tells you the day or hour that the Lord is returning, that's a day and an hour that he's not returning. We can know that for sure. No one knows the day or hour that the Lord will return. But we are expectant, knowing that he will return. And I love how the scripture even says that there are those who will think, well, you know, there's been so much time and he hasn't showed up, so is he really showing up? But the scripture speaks that it is so that more would come to know Christ as Lord and Savior, that more would come into the family of God, that there would be more baptisms. Why? Because when that day comes, it's all over. Those who believe will hear, "Come in, my good and faithful servant." Those who have trusted in Jesus Christ shall enter into eternal life with Christ. And those who do not know Christ says that they shall be burned like chaff. And many other scriptures throughout the Old and New Testament that speaks of the terrible day of the Lord. It's only terrible for those who do not know Christ. During this Advent season, we're going to follow an outline of the main song from our Christmas night of worship at Luke 4:18 Fellowship. About 9 months ago, yes, Brother Aaron is working on Christmas music 9 months plus in advance. About 9 months ago, Brother Aaron came to me and shared with me this song called "Christmas Is Real." And I really like the song and looking at it. And in the chorus, is that right? Did I say that right? In the chorus of the song, it speaks that Christmas is real, that there's real love, there's real peace, there's real hope, and there's real joy. And so over the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at real love, real peace, real hope, real joy. And today, as we begin this time, we're going to look at real love. And the song says, real love comes and changes everything. Real love comes and changes everything. And so today our points are going to go right along that. Real love comes and changes everything. If you have your scriptures, and I hope that you do, open up to 1 John chapter 4. We're going to just look at verse 7 through 11, kind of as our main passage, but we're going to be all throughout the scripture today looking at this idea of love. It says this in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God was manifest in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Father, we just thank you. We praise your holy name, and we just ask that you would speak to us today and throughout this season. Father, this is one of the busiest seasons that we walk through, and it's so easy for us to miss the beautiful gospel story of Christ fulfilling the first advent, coming Emmanuel, God with us, to dwell with us. So, Father, I pray that this season would be a time of us rejoicing in the fulfillment of the first advent, and waiting expectantly on your return. Father, I do pray today that you would put me on the front row and that you would speak in and through me. Father, we love you, we praise you, and we give you all glory, for it's in your precious and holy name. Amen. The first thing that we're going to look at today is this idea of real love. Now, the scripture speaks of brotherly love, speaks of that between David and Jonathan. The scripture speaks of romantic love as we see Solomon and the Shunammite woman. We see fatherly love as it speaks of Paul and Timothy. But today we're going to look at agape love, which is an unselfish love. In this passage in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7 and 8, the word love there is agape. And that is a unselfish, unconditional looking towards the betterment of the one that is being loved, right? So God being love is unselfishly focused on us. He loves us. He cares for us. He is gracious towards us. I love what it says in 1 John 4, 7 and 8. It says that love is, agape love is from God, and God is love. Look at what it says in verse 7. It says, for love is from God. And then in verse 8, it says, God is love. So we see here that when we sing this song that real love has come, that real love is God. God is love. That's who He is. And love is from Him. And Scripture also tells us what agape love looks like. In the famous wedding scripture, 1 Corinthians verse 13, 4 through 8, many of y'all probably had that read at your wedding. I believe Leslie and I did as well 15 years ago. It is one of the passages probably in every wedding that I read. It uses this word agape. In 1 Corinthians verse 13, 4 through 8, it says, agape love is patient. Agape love is kind. It is not jealous. It does not brag. It is not arrogant. It does not act unbecoming. It does not seek its own. It is not provoked. It does not take into account wrong suffered. It does not rejoice in unrighteousness, but rejoices with the truth. It bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. And this is what I love about this. God is love, agape, unconditional, unselfish love, which means that 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 is describing God. It's describing God's attributes. It's describing who He is. So often we share that at a wedding, and listen, it's a great passage for us to share at a wedding, but we can't live out 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8 unless we are first right with the one who is love, that is God. God is agape love, which means that this is describing who He is. So we see that God is love, but then real love comes to earth. Real love has come in December 25th, we celebrate Christmas, that God has come to earth. We recognize that this process, first God gave, John 3:16, for God so loved that He what? He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish but have eternal life. So it's pretty simple. Who did God give His Son, His only begotten Son, Jesus? Now, many of us during the Advent season would go to the Gospel of Luke, but for me, I love Philippians chapter 2. Jesus came. God gave. Jesus came to earth. And it says in Philippians 2, 5, it says, have the attitude in yourself, which was also in Christ Jesus, who although He existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but He emptied Himself, taking on the form of a bondservant, taking on flesh and being made in the likeness of men, being found in the appearance as a man, He humbled Himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. The reason I love Philippians chapter 2 on the Advent season or during the Advent season is that it goes into detail of what Christ did to come as a baby at Christmas, to come as a baby fulfilling the Advent, the first Advent. He emptied Himself. He took on flesh, becoming like man. In the appearance of man, He humbled Himself. Jesus came to this earth as a humble servant. Christmas is God giving His Son to come and dwell among us. And I want you to just think about this for a moment. In the garden, God dwelt with Adam and Eve. But then the fall of man separated mankind from God. And it required for God to dwell with his people, the tent of meetings, the tabernacle. Then God dwelt among his people in that tent of meetings. And then they built a temple, and God dwelt and tabernacled with his people through the temple and the Holy of Holies. But this is far greater than the temple. Jesus comes and tabernacles with us. Emmanuel, God with us. Now, to chase a little bit of a rabbit trail, the blessing is for those who are born again, those who are in Christ Jesus, now that he has died and rose again and conquered death, hell, and the grave, God sends his Holy Spirit to tabernacle within us. It's the reason why I don't call this building the church. I call this building the church house. Because you are the church, you are the temple, and God in the power of the Holy Spirit comes and tabernacles within us. John chapter 1 verse 14 speaks of Emmanuel, God coming to earth. It says, and the Word became flesh and tabernacled, dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory is the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus tabernacles. He comes to earth. But in his journey on earth, it wasn't just so that he could just live a good life, but he came in order to fulfill the law. Matthew chapter 5, verse 17. Do not think, this is Jesus speaking, do not think that I come to abolish the law of the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. He came in order to fulfill the law on our behalf. And he came to die the death that we deserved on our behalf. Romans chapter 5, verse 8. But God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were sinners, Christ died for us. I love John 15, 13. Greater love has no one than this, that one lay down his life for his friend. And see, we celebrate at Christmas that the first advent has been fulfilled, that Jesus came as a humble servant. He lived a perfect life, fulfilling every aspect of the law so that he could be the perfect sacrifice for you and for me. In love, Christ died on the cross for you and me. But praise God, the story doesn't end there. But Jesus who came as a humble servant, Jesus who fulfilled the law, Jesus who died on our behalf, we know that when we celebrate every year Resurrection Sunday, many of us call it Easter, that Jesus rose from the dead. And he conquered death, hell, and the grave. See, real love has come. And here's the beauty of the song that we're going to sing at Christmas. Real love has come, and let me just tell you, it changes everything. The fact that Jesus came as a humble servant, the fact that Jesus fulfilled the law, the fact that Jesus went to the cross on our behalf, taking the death penalty that we deserved, the fact that he rose again, conquering death, hell, and the grave, shows us and tells us that real love comes and it changes everything. So what does it change? Well, the first thing is it changes our identity. It changes our heart. I love what it says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 7. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Everyone who loves is born of God. Now remember, the fall of man takes place in Genesis chapter 3. We're all born into sin, which means that we are all born children of wrath, as it says in Ephesians chapter 2. All of us are born sinners. And in being born a sinner, we are under the rule of Satan. But it says in Scripture that because Jesus conquered death, hell, and the grave, it says in 1 John chapter 4, 7, that everyone who loves, everyone who believes, everyone who trusts in God the Father, it says that they are born of God. They have an identity change. They are no longer children of wrath, but now they are children of God. I love what it says in John chapter 1, verse, I believe it's verse 12. I don't think I gave it to you in the back, but it says this in John chapter 1, verse 12. It says this, "But as many as receive him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." Listen, love has come and changes everything. For those who are in Christ Jesus, God has changed your identity. You are no longer a child of wrath, but now you are a child of the King. You are now a son and daughter of God. John 3:16 speaks of this as well. "For God so loved us that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to judge the world, but that the world may be saved through him. He who believes in him is not judged. He who does not believe has been judged already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God." Church, I want you to hear today that for those who truly believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, their identity has been changed. And let me just tell you, that's an amazing statement, because we celebrate that the first advent has been fulfilled, but the second advent, we're waiting expectantly on Christ to return. Those who are children of God, it will be a joyous day. They will be with Christ for all eternity. But for those who do not believe in God, those who are not born of God, those who are children of wrath, the Scripture says over and over and over that there is a place called hell. And let me just tell you, hell was not created for us. It was created for the fallen angels and for Satan. But those who do not receive that free gift, the one who died on the cross on our behalf, the one who fulfilled the law for us, the one who paid the price for us and rose again, conquering death, hell, and the grave, those who have not received the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, the Scripture says that they will go with the one that hell was designed for, with Satan and his fallen angels. Real love changes our identity. Not only that, but real love changes our confidence. In 1 John chapter 4, verse 16 and 18, or through 18, it says, "We have come to know and have believed that the love of God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this, love is perfected in us so that we may have confidence in the day of judgment." It changes our confidence. Real love changes our confidence. I'm not fearful of death. I'm maybe fearful of how I'm going to die, right? Everybody wonders, like, okay, how is that going to take place? You know, everybody wants to live to a ripe old age and just go home in their sleep, but we're not guaranteed that. But I'm not fearful of death. Why? Because my confidence is not in my righteousness. My confidence is not in myself. My confidence is not in my good works. My confidence is not in my church membership. My confidence is not in my giving records. My confidence is not in how many times I attend on a Sunday morning or how well I preach or don't preach. My confidence is in Jesus Christ and Christ alone. I'm not worried and fearful about the terrible day of the Lord, because my confidence is in Jesus Christ. I'm concerned for those who don't know Christ as their Lord and Savior. I'm concerned for those whose identity has not been changed. I fear for those whose identity has not been changed. And that leads me, and we'll see this later, I'm getting ahead of myself in the message, but that leads me to want to share with others the love of Christ. But church, we must see that we may have confidence in the day of judgment. Verse 18, there's no fear in love. But perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. And the one who fears is not perfected in love. I'm not fearful of punishment, because Jesus took my punishment. Jesus bore the wrath of God on him on the cross that was coming for me, that was stored up for me. Jesus took my punishment. Real love changes our confidence. It's no longer confidence in ourself, which is futile. It's confident in Jesus Christ. I love 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the very last verse, verse 21, where it speaks that Jesus took our sin upon him, and that he placed on us, God placed on us his rightful standing. He made him who knew no sin to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Our confidence comes because we have been covered in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Church, not only does real love come and change our identity, not only does it come and change our confidence, but real love comes and changes our behavior. If we are truly in Christ, then we have a behavioral change. Now, let me just say, this is very important. The behavioral change comes after the identity changes. Many of us try to change our behavior before the identity changes. Many of us want to do good works, but you can't do until you first are in Christ Jesus. Otherwise, that's called legalism. Your hopes of fulfilling and doing good things makes you right with God. And as I just said, our confidence is not in our good works. Our confidence is not in our behavior. Our confidence is in our identity in Christ, in the precious blood of Jesus. And let me just tell you, if you're sitting there trying to change somebody's behavior without a soul transformation, then all you're doing is creating religious, legalistic people. If you go out into our society, into Mobile, Alabama, and you're wanting to change everybody's behavior, listen, we need to get to the heart of the matter and let the Holy Spirit change the heart, because when the heart is changed, the behavior changes. We've got to stop trying to clean people up and then share the gospel with them. No, we just need to share the gospel with them. Because the gospel will change the identity, and the power of the Holy Spirit will change the behavior. And real love has come and changes our behavior, because our identity is in Christ Jesus. 1 John chapter 4, 9 through 11 says this: "By this the love of God was manifest in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him." Let me just unpack that. I know we just did 1 John at the beginning of this year, but I want you to see this. The love of God is what was manifest in us, that God has sent his only begotten Son so that we might live through him. You can't live through him if you're not first in Christ. In this is love. Not that we loved God, not our confidence in ourselves, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. And then look at verse 11. After all of this, he's talking about our identity is in him, and because our identity is in Christ, that his love is manifest in us and we live through Christ. It says this in verse 11: "If God so loved us, we ought to love one another." Church, real love has come. And real love changes our identity, changes our confidence, and changes our behavior. Church, when we are in Christ Jesus, the love of God comes through us. Not because I'm working it up, but here it is. You ready? Because I'm abiding. Because I'm abiding in Christ. John 15, y'all know, I've said it all the time, it's one of my favorite passages. John 15 says, "Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Nothing. The only thing that we can produce apart from Christ is the deeds of the flesh, Galatians 5. Church, but when we abide in Christ, we bear fruit. But who's producing the fruit in and through us? It's the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, which is love. Well, God is love. So if we are seeing love come forth from our life, it's because we're first in Christ. We're abiding in Him. The power of the Holy Spirit is doing a major work in our life, changing our behavior, and the love of God is being shown through our life. Real love changes our behavior. Real love has come. And it changes everything. It changes our identity. It changes our confidence. It changes our behavior. And just one more today. I could probably talk for days on end about all that real love changes. But real love changes our motives. Changes our motives. Another passage that I just absolutely love is 2 Corinthians 5:14 through 15. For the love of God controls us. Many of you in your Bible, in your translation, it says, for the love of God compels us. For the love of God controls us, having concluded this, that one died for all, and therefore all died. And he died for all so that who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. If you continue on in this passage, you see that this is that famous passage of Paul saying that he is an ambassador and that he is making the gospel of reconciliation, and he's urging, longing, persuading people to come and follow God. But I think it's important for us to look at verse 14. What is the motivating push? It's not look at me and what I've done. It's not, oh, look at all the people who have come to faith through my ministry. It's not look at how big Luke 4:18 is. None of those are the motivating factor. The motivating factor is the love of God that compels us, that controls us. We have recognized God's love for us. We have seen that it changes our identity. It changes our confidence. And we know that God loves us the same as He loves the world. And so it's His love and what He's done in our life and the transformation that's taking place in our life that we're so overwhelmed by who God is and what He's done in our life that we want to go and share the love of God on all those around. See, it's no longer selfish motives, but it's a motive to give honor, glory, and bring praise to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. I love what Paul says. It's God's love that compels us, having concluded, because we have seen that one died for all, therefore all died. We've seen that Adam sinned and all have sinned, and he died for all. We recognize that one died for all so that who live might no longer live for themselves, but for him who died and rose again on their behalf. We're so overwhelmed by the love of God that we take it throughout this city and throughout the world. Church, I pray this Christmas, this Advent season, that you would get overwhelmed by the love of God. That you would get so overwhelmed that the love of God has come to this earth. Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. that he fulfilled the law and the prophets, and that he died for us, rising again, conquering death, hell, and the grave. And that you would get overwhelmed, that it changes everything in our life. I pray that this Christmas, this Advent season, is not simply just a time of giving of gifts and putting up Christmas trees and having all the beautiful lights, which I love. It's like my favorite time of year. But I pray this Christmas would be a time of being overwhelmed that love has come. And it changes everything about us. And that it's that love, the love of God, that persuades us, that compels us, that controls us to take the incredible Christmas message all throughout our city.